support to secure the needed UN approval. If U.S. leaders had believed that the invasion was completely legitimate according to the terms of the UN Charter, then they would have felt no need to draft a resolution in justifying it. Ex post facto, when it emerged that the alleged WMD serving as one of the primary pretexts for the war were nowhere to be found, the U.S. government claimed that the 2003 invasion of Iraq was simply a continuation of the 1991 Persian Gulf War, which had received the support of the United Nations, or was justified because Saddam Hussein allegedly tried to assassinate George H.W. Bush in 1993, or because previous UN resolutions relating to the disarmament of Iraq and the elimination of its biological and chemical warfare capacity implied that military force would be permissible in the event of Saddam Hussein's non-compliance. On the propaganda front, the U.S. administration also pumped through the media pretexts, such as that the people of Iraq needed to be liberated from their ruthless dictator, and it was high time to allow democracy to flourish throughout the land. People have been writing about war crimes for millennia, long before the establishment of the United Nations and the ICC, International Criminal Court. The framework proffered in 1945 UN Charter derives from the classical just war tradition. By definition, a war criminal is someone who commits war crimes. But according to just war theory, there are two ways to become an unjust warrior. One is to wage an unjust war. The other is to conduct a war unjustly. These two forms of injustice are outlined in the Ad bellum and jus in bello, requirements on a just war, the interpretive fluidity of which has often been seized upon by political leaders intent on waging war. Such leaders use just war theory opportunistically as a template in developing pro-war propaganda. The aim of the drafters of the UN Charter was to rein in such bellicose tendencies and thereby avert tragic and massively destructive conflicts such as the First and Second World Wars by requiring explicit and intersubjective agreement among nations before a war could be waged. Deception is a form of coercion, which implies that a leader who offers false pretexts to secure the approval of the UN Security Council, as did George H.W. Bush in 1991, is no less a criminal than a leader whose war objectively violates the written letter of the law, as in the case of his son, George W. Bush's 2003 invasion of Iraq. Indeed, in predicting how leaders will conduct themselves during the prosecution of war, there may be no dependable indicator than how they went about garnering support for it. By now, it is common knowledge that all of the proffered pretexts for the 2003 invasion of Iraq were bogus, from the non-existent WMDs to the alleged collaboration between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. Given the many lies used to persuade politicians and pundits to support the invasion, no one should have been surprised when those who waged a criminal war proceeded to render and torture suspects, kill civilians at checkpoints, deploy white phosphorus and depleted uranium-tipped missiles, raise entire cities, and terrorize civilians with lethal drones. Biden's debilitated mental state and inability to keep his story straight is the perfect metaphor for the attitude of Americans toward war criminals. They blithely ignore or brush aside the crimes committed by their own leaders, while supporting policies which will intensify rather than resolve conflicts abroad.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners, welcome to your own program, A Muslim Lady, where we have been discussing so many various important issues regarding Muslim lady. I hope you have enjoyed all our discussions, and I also hope you will benefit from today's discussions. I'm Farman Ali Masumi, and with me in our studios, my wife, Radia Batul Najafi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
So in our previous episode, we talked about the very important quality of hijab, or the self-building. And in self-building, there are a lot of qualities we can talk in details. So we talked about hijab. And in hijab, we said a hijab does not mean to cover only your body. You have to specifically, you know, take so many elements
exactly,
or so many things.
Yeah. And I remember this amazing saying of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, when you are walking, yeah, in a society, your walk means a lot. Tamshi ala istihya, the beautiful walk of the daughters of Prophet Shu'aib, which Quran is mentioning. You know, they used to walk with so much modesty and chastity. So your
keeping
style,
the distance
exactly,
from
exactly your style of walking, you know, talks a lot, indicates a lot, and therefore our sixth Imam he tells us that you have to walk from the side of the street. Because when you're walking from the side, that means one part of your body is towards wall or towards, you know, something. It's not that much prominent. You know, you are not showing it off. So,
look at Islam, how he
in
cares
detail,
in details.
And even when during the burial, after the death, when you bury the dead body, so all the rulings are totally different for women, you know, like the way of, you know, and the rulings
carrying
of
towards the,
exactly,
you know, grave,
towards the grave,
even
is,
the coffin, we say.
Everything is based on modesty. And one more thing which I really like about Islam is that Islam, a Muslim society, is expecting this from women, you know, therefore Allah has fixed this five prayers, daily prayers. And for each prayer, the Muslim society is giving you this amazing training that every time when azan is going on, and the call of prayer is just announcing by the caller, you have to do wuzu. And after performing wuzu, you are looking for your chador. For your covering. When you stand, you know, this is the practice. During namaz time, again, beautifully, Islam is giving this amazing exercise to girls, to Muslim lady. So the way we stand, you know, it's not like a man during the prayer time. Even our voice, you know, I'm not allowed to pray loudly. And even the way I do ruku and sujood, you know, during my prayers, everything tells us that I have to practice, exercise from the age of 9, how to be modest. Therefore, our Prophet, he said, the hadith which we have started, that inna khayra nisa'ikum, the best women amongst you are those who has these qualities. Number one, al-wadud. Number two, al-walud. Number three, as-satira, al-afifa. This is so amazing. You know, I really want to say to my listeners that please take it in an utmost positive way, because it is positive, you know, 100%. Like, if you are in a beautiful way of modesty, then you yourself, you know, you have that amazing self-respect. You are in peace. You know, you can focus in your life. You can be more active in your society. So everything goes to you in your benefit. Therefore, Prophet is saying, as-satira and al-afifa.
When we talk about satira, exactly, our Muslim society expects from a Muslim lady to cover completely and in a decent and modest way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says,
Wa anzalna alaykum libasan yuari sawatikum wa libasut taqwa dhalika khair.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have given you clothes to cover up your nakedness and your, you know, body parts. So we are going to have a short break. Please, listeners, don't go away. Stay tuned. Inshallah, we'll come back soon.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
I remember that a beautiful riwayah, Usama bin Zaid, one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that once Dahyaye Kalbi, the beautiful companion of Rasulullah, he gave to Rasulullah a piece of cloth, you know, Qabti cloth. And that time it was very, you know, nice cloth, Qabti cloth, but it was very, very soft. So he gave to Rasulullah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave that cloth to me. Then I made dress for my wife from that cloth. The next day when I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked, Ya Osama, why you are not wearing Qabti clothes? I told Rasulullah that I have made that cloth to piece of dress for my wife. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Osama, make sure that she wears a proper dress under it, because I fear that Qabti clothes are not very good in, you know, covering your body. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sensitiveness. How he was sensitive about these things, it shows that a Muslim lady should be very careful. The way she dresses up, the clothing she chooses.
For me, it's really fascinating. I'm just thinking that, you know, nowadays we go to the tailors. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was here, if present in our society, I think he would go to the tailors and he would say, don't stitch this kind of extremely unmodest and extremely tight dresses, yeah, which are not even healthy for our body. So that, like, that means we have to be very careful about the quality. Maybe if the cloth is a bit transparent, you know, like a bit thin, Islam is very sensitive.
Yeah.
Islam is very sensitive, yeah, about this too.
Yeah, yeah, even about the coloring.
Coloring, okay.
Yeah, Islam says that the colors who attract others' attention, it is not good for women to wear.
Yeah.
It also means Islam, how much Islam cares about our modesty,
yeah,
our peace,
yeah,
because everything comes towards the peace, you know.
Peace
when
of mind.
Peace of mind,
yeah.
Peace in your family, peace in your home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think by having a modest dressing, Muslim lady is doing a big ihsan on Muslim society, because yeah, Muslim society is expecting from her to be modest. Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Because if she is modest, she has a big right on me, you know, because of her, I'm in peace. Because of her, everyone is peace. Everything is in their own place. So you get that beautiful harmony and justice in a society by just having a very modest Muslim ladies,
yeah,
in a society.
Definitely, it helps a lot, because, you know, Shaitan is always there. You know, a lot of men, they can be attracted by,
yeah,
a single, you know, mistake. So if our all Muslim ladies, they take care,
yes,
they are,
yes,
conscious about these things.
And look at the hadith. The continuation is again a focus on the somehow same quality. Al-Aziza fi ahliha al-dhalila ma'ba'liha. This is a bit about akhlaqi. And then al-mutabarrija ma'azawjiha al-hassana ala ghayrihi. Mutabarrija, like this.
Can you translate?
Yeah.
Because our maybe dear listeners, they want to understand,
yeah, yeah,
this hadith.
Al-mutabarrija ala ma'azawjiha. She's just expressing her beauty, yeah, in front of her husband. And that is something she's longing, like that quality is instilled in her, that she loves to show her beauty. Islam is taking care of her nature too. Islam is not saying, no, you have to just condemn, you know, you have to just suppress, you have to just, you know, shut down that your desire of having all this amazing, beautiful jewelry or beautician. you can use it at home in a very healthy environment, especially your husband. So you will get sawab if you are mutabarrij, like very outstanding, like models, you know, how they show their beauty.
Again, it shows that husbands, they should appreciate it also, because women always, they want someone to appreciate them.
No doubt, Then al-hisan ala ghayrihi. This is something amazing. Yeah. Nowadays, she's very modest in front of others, other men.
Protecting. Means she is protecting her, you know, appearance, amazing body.
Protecting. I feel she's not putting that pollution, you know. If I go with, if I'm just expressing all my and exposing all my beauty, so I'm polluting the environment.
This is also a good terminology.
Capture the mind towards myself in a negative way.
By traffic, we are creating a lot of pollution, you know. We are polluting the air, atmosphere, like by so many harsh sounds, we create pollution. So likewise, women and ladies also, they create this moral pollution.
Beautiful.
Because of this immorality, a lot of people, they get diseases.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Moral
amazing
diseases. Wow.
And al-aziza fi ahliha, she's a very aziz in her family, like very beloved one, very respectful one. And a bit like, you know, there is one beautiful saying of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha. He says, one of the quality of women which is best for her but the worst for men is to be a bit rude. Rude not in a negative way, like a bit very
not
respectful.
Not very soft-spoken and very humble.
So here Aziza means she's very firm.
To the point.
To the point. But az-zalila ma'a ba'liha. Az-zalila means
very humble,
very humble towards family and husband. Yeah, but, you know, like there should be a big difference between, you know, the dealing and between the way of communication, the way of reacting with her family members and with the society.
Islam wants a lady to be, you know, to the point and firm in the society.
Yeah.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Salam everyone, and let us begin the day by contemplating upon what the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him, has to say regarding the correct ways of fasting and worship, that is, sincerity and firm faith in God. Many are the people who fast without partaking of anything except hunger and thirst. Many are the worshippers who do not partake of anything except sleepless nights and hardship. How excellent is the sleep fasting of the wise, which is better than the vigils of the fools, and the hours when they are not fasting, which are better than the fasting hours of the fools.
Thank you. Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
Magic returns to Belgium with a purple carpet of bluebells covering the undergrowth of Hallerbos woods near Brussels. Each spring, this beech forest turns into a bluebell spectacular, turning the area into a natural wonderland. Millions of these blooming flowers sprout up across the 550-hectare woods, filling the air with their sweet aroma. The short but enchanting blooming phase offers nature enthusiasts a one-of-a-kind experience.
It is an outstanding and magical place because whenever we come, there's an amazing atmosphere. The sunrise was truly beautiful this morning, and we know this offers the opportunity to take great photos and decorate our house. It is a great comfort during these tough times.
Visitors can stroll the winding paths and watch rabbits and deer wandering through the woods. The forest floor blooms for a period of 7 to 10 days. After this time, leaves begin to grow on the trees above them, blocking the sunlight from reaching the flowers. The phenomenon of bluebell forest is not uncommon in Europe, but the Hallerbos greenery is unique for the density and beauty of its blossoms. A huge pink moon has glowed over Chilean skies, mesmerizing stargazers and ordinary citizens alike. The full moon was completely visible over the capital, Santiago. The celestial phenomenon is called a pink moon as it appears in April and is named after an American plant, pink plot, that blooms in spring. The pink moon will shine during the weekend through early Monday and may be visible in most parts of the world. The phenomenon also marks the calendar for different religious festivities around the globe.
A batch of autonomous delivery vehicles has been provided to facilitate personnel and volunteers in the streets and communities of Shanghai. The self-driving vehicles distribute supplies to residents in the Chinese megacity, which is now hit hard by the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. The vehicles reduce person-to-person contact and largely lower the risk of infection. A community served by the distribution station has more than 30 apartment buildings and nearly 3,000 residents. The weight of each order is more than 5 kilograms, which puts great pressure on the volunteers to deliver. 49 autonomous delivery vehicles have been sent to communities, colleges, and hospitals in Shanghai to support anti-pandemic and supply work. Sunny skies and spring temperatures made for the perfect setting for the 65th birthday of Fatu, the world's oldest gorilla living at Berlin Zoo. At this age, the Western Lowland gorilla is what Berlin Zoo calls almost something of a legend. Gorillas living in the wild have a life expectancy of about 40 years, and at 65, she has been the world's oldest living gorilla for a while. 65 is absolutely extraordinary, and that obviously needs to be celebrated in style.
They mainly get vegetables, and the sugar they receive at most is fruit sugar, and that's what we should saw for today in the shape of raspberries and blueberries. They were the decoration on rice cake made of boiled rice, a thin layer of rice and some curd so it sticks together. The bottom was made of a lot of green stuff, then the lion and lettuce.
According to Berlin Zoo, Western lowland gorillas are now an endangered species after their natural habitat was continuously decimated, and therefore fewer and fewer animals live in the tropical rainforest of Cameroon, the Central African Republic, Gabon, and the Republic of Congo. World of Opera is opening its doors to the deaf community for the very first time. The Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra has teamed up with the Deaf West Theater to stage a production of Beethoven's only opera, Fidelio, at their home at the Walt Disney Hall. The chorus will be performed by the White Hands Choir, a group from Venezuela consisting of disabled children and young adults who sing as well as sign. The production pairs up a singer and a deaf actor to both inhabit the one role on stage. Having deaf actors perform alongside opera singers, however, has its challenges, not least of which is keeping up the rhythm of the music.
I think probably that there's a lot of tempo that I've been rehearsing. A lot of times when the singers hold the same word, but the next time they say that exact same word in the next few bars, they don't hold it as long. So trying to remember all of those is very difficult. So are they holding this for 4 beats or 2 beats? Or what word is this in this thing?
I feel like the challenge with opera is that it's very fluid and it's not repetitive. The tempos change throughout it, and night to night it even changes. The conductor, you know, kind of changes how he conducts things each night, and so that is something that is challenging.
The opera singers also give small cues to the actors, like opening a letter or sitting down or standing up, to keep them informed where they are in the piece. The deaf cast use theatrical ASL, or American Sign Language, in the production. DJ Kurs, the producer at the Deaf West Theater, says the performance is a little bit more poetic and a little bit more kind of picturesque.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A startup in the U.S. state of California is turning science fiction into reality by sending tiny robots on a fantastic voyage inside humans to treat brain disorders. The smart cells are small enough to be injected and can be carefully guided through the brain using magnetic coils placed outside of the patient's skull. The coils are linked to a computer that can remotely maneuver the robots through delicate pathways into the affected part of the brain. The micro-robots are also removed by rewinding them through the same route. The developers at Bionaut Labs say these robots are extremely important when it comes to zero-failure-sensitive surgeries.
For localized conditions such as cancer tumors, stroke, atherosclerotic plaque buildup, localized pain, and many other conditions, there is a real need to have a micro-robotic, precise, remote-controlled mechanism that can treat a condition only at a specific point and nowhere else.
The startup has already tested the robots on large animals. Inventors hope to use the robot to pierce fluid-filled cysts within the brain when clinical trials on humans begin in 2 years. If approved, they could offer key advantages over more invasive and dangerous treatments for brain disorders. Floating solar panels help landowners benefit from underused body of water. Now, a German company is covering 14,000 square meters of a lake with these panels, turning it into the biggest solar park in the country. The park is built by a family-owned company called Quartzwerk, which specializes in extracting and processing industrial minerals. The company says it wants to become independent of fossil energy sources amid rising energy prices. The head of the Floating Panel Corporation says they will be generating around 3 million kilowatts per hour of green electricity on the surfaces of Limmersheim Lake in southern Germany.
The
plant can make a super big contribution to the land-neutral energy transition, because here an unused lake that was previously used for gravel extraction is being converted into a power plant for renewable energy.
Installation and maintenance of the panels are easy and safe, while they also offer a significant reduction in evaporation from the water surface. According to the company, this will save around 1,100 tons of carbon dioxide each year.
A restaurant in the Indonesian capital of Jakarta is taking fine dining to new heights, literally and figuratively, by giving diners a one-of-a-kind experience 50 meters above ground. The restaurant is called Lounge in the Sky. Diners are securely strapped into seats fixed to a table and are hoisted into the air using a heavy-duty lift. First, the gourmet meals are prepared in the main kitchen. Then, the food is loaded onto the platform where the dishes are plated and served to the patrons. The suspended guests are able to take advantage of breathtaking views as they gently rotate at great heights.
At first, it was not easy. I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to swallow the food, let alone drink. But after some time, I could eventually eat. It was thrilling.
While enjoying the meals, the guests use seat belts and the accompanying staff are equipped with safety harnesses. The guests are also briefed on safety regulations before the platform is raised. Diners call the one-hour experience exhilarating and worth the high price. The project developers say the restaurant was aimed at reviving local and international tourism sector after a big slump during the COVID-19 pandemic. The culinary experience is a first in Indonesia and the third in the world after Belgium and Malaysia.
South Koreans are getting outside to enjoy the open air with a local cherry blossom festival in central Seoul. This is while the country has been dealing with an ongoing surge of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. With some performances and the beauty of spring, many people look forward to turning the corner on the pandemic. Frank Smith has a story.
Spring has come to South Korea, and the cherry blossoms are blooming. COVID-19 restrictions on gatherings are finally being eased, and at Ansan Park in central Seoul, a small festival is bringing everyone back out.
I first came here with my friends 4 years ago, but we couldn't come for the past 2 years because of COVID. I was impressed to see so many people no longer being overly careful about COVID, and we're also very happy to be able to attend festivals like this one.
South Koreans have been quite diligent in observing social distancing guidelines and wearing masks. The Omicron variant of COVID-19 has been quite severe here, with cases only recently declining below 200,000 per day. Still, the government's decided to open up. From the open-air stage, Noah Ram and his band entertain a crowd that's anxious to finally get outside and enjoy group activities.
Ever since COVID, and particularly for the entirety of 2021, when the pandemic was at its peak, I have been unable to perform. I felt today was a restart. Spring has come, the weather's great, the blossoms beautiful, and I felt all of this was celebrating today's show.
South Korea's vaccination rate is nearly 90%, with children now getting the jab.
At first, I was very scared of COVID as I felt it was life-threatening. But now I feel okay with it because I consider it an experience and a certain reality. Also, I worry less because of the vaccines and the new medications.
The cherry blossom's blooming has been tracked from Jeju Island in the south and up to the capital as warm weather moved north. And with this change in seasons, attitudes toward life with COVID are changing as well. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special on Ramadan. Today, Wednesday, is the 18th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 31st of Farvardin, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 20th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We are in the Laylatul Qadr, the first Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny. We ask all of you, dear brothers and sisters, to keep us in your prayers and supplications.
Ya Laylatul Qadr, ya Fawla Barina, khayrun min ad-dahr, bil afw tatina. Ya Laylatul Qadr, ya Fawla Barina,
the month of Ramadan has been singled out for special worship or ibadah and exclusive favors. It is a month unlike other months. One reason for this, as defined by the Quran, is because the Holy Quran was revealed in this month. Says Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, the month of Ramadan, that in which the Quran was sent down, a guidance for mankind and clear signs of guidance and distinction. Chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 185. In fact, according to a hadith of the sixth Imam, peace be upon him, the other holy books were also revealed in this month. Among the nights of Ramadan is one special night, which is better than 1,000 months.
Ya Rabb, Ya Rahman, Ya Khaliq al-Akwan, Ya Rabb, Ya Rahman, Ya Khaliq al-Akwan.
Good deeds performed on that single night are equal to those performed over 1,000 months. It is the night of power, night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, when the Quran was revealed to the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family. Some commentators believe it was the night when the Quran was brought down from the heavenly abode for Jibreel to reveal in parts to the Prophet. Others say it was the night when the Prophet received the entire Quran but was asked to transmit it as and when the occasion demanded. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-Sain. In this episode, we are going to talk about the eves of decree, Layali al-Qadr. The Eve of Decree, or Laylat al-Qadr, is one of the designations of three nights in the month Ramadan. That is, the nights or eves of the 19th, 21st, and 23rd days of the month Ramadan. And in Muslim communities, we find that people are attentive to not sleeping on these nights and on the eves of Qadr or eves of decree. This is because they are very special. I mean, among the divine, among the months throughout the year, the month of Ramadan is selected for its religious grace and religious occasion. And within the month of Ramadan, three nights are very important. And one of the three nights is the night of, or the Eve of Decree, Laylat al-Qadr. Laylat al-Qadr is very important in Islamic instructions because it's one of the occasions on which the Holy Quran in its entirety was revealed unto the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here it must be indicated that experts in Quranic studies believe that the Holy Quran was revealed unto the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam several times, not once or twice, but several times. One of them is simply that, I mean, the Holy Quran was given to the Holy Quran in its entirety. Imagine that, for example, a book of instructions or a textbook is given to a student in its entirety. I mean, a teacher or a bookseller gives a copy of the book, I mean, all perfect in its entirety to a student or a researcher. Another case is that the Holy Quran was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam piece by piece and on various occasions. I mean, in order to make an analogy, imagine that a book is given to a student or to a reader in its entirety at once, but I mean gradually throughout long period of time. The lessons of this book are taught to its recipient, I mean, piece by piece, or, for example, section by section.
Beseeching Allah for bestowing readiness for the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny. Yes, the one who believes in the religion and respects Quranic verses and traditions of the sinless Imams, peace be upon them all, it would be desirable that he should make his best effort and endeavors for celebrating this night. The efforts which are desirable and should be undertaken are that during the whole year before the arrival of the night of power, he must repeatedly besiege Allah, the glorious, the exalted, to bestow upon him the divine grace to be vigilant during this night. Bless him with most esteemed and dearest deeds. Consider that night superior than 1,000 months for him and may accept from him. Make him his most favorite and nearest one during this night. Bless him with his love, learning, nearness, union, pleasure, and constant together with health, happiness, and welfare. Should be pleased with him in such a manner that after this, he would never be displeased with him. Imams, and especially the Imam of the age, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, pleased with him, bestowed upon him divine favor to succeed in establishing Allah's obedience and consent, and make his ultimate and Allah's countenance and pleasure.
Allah, 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 Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallah.
You are with today's special on Laylatul Qadr, the Night of Destiny. And the continuation of today's special selection of the most suitable deeds, not to be negligent from Allah. During these nights, one must strive his best to keep thinking about Allah, the glorious, the exalted, all along the night, and should not forget him during any part of the night, even for sake of recommended and justified deeds. Also, while offering prayer and supplications, he should not think about any other thing, even though if they happen to be recommended things. In order to make this task easier before performing different acts of prayer, recital or genuflection or ruku, first of all, he should think about them briefly and then should perform them. And in case while performing a certain act, negligence dominates over him, and if a verse or invocation is recited with negligence, he must repeat it again. For example, when he wants to stand towards Qibla for prayer, first of all, he should think briefly about the wisdom of standing toward Mecca and then should turn his face in that direction.
It's the greatest sale that you'll ever witness in your life. And it's the biggest discount that's ever been offered by anyone. But this sale only lasts for one night. It begins at sunset, at dusk, and it finishes with sunrise, dawn. And there are a few differences between the sale that I'm speaking of and your everyday average sales that you see in newspapers, magazines, on the internet, and you see on TV. Number one, your local mall isn't hosting the sale. Your local shopping center isn't hosting it. The host of this sale is none other than your creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, the merchandise that's being sold in this sale is not clothes, nor jewelry, nor appliances, nor electronics, nor furniture. What's being sold in this sale is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and His mercy upon us and our freedom from the fires of hell. It's the greatest reward of Allah that's being offered, that's on display in this sale. And that's Al-Jannah, the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, the currency that you use in this sale to buy is not dollars or dinars or dirhams. It's none of the paper money that we human beings are accustomed to of this world. The currency that you use in this sale is your a'mal, salah, Quran, dua, and dhikr. The good deeds are your currency. That's how you buy Allah's forgiveness, Allah's mercy, Allah's satisfaction and grace. And that's how you're freed from the fires of hell, through your a'mal.
Dear brothers and sisters, I'm wishing you the best in Laylatul Qadr. Please, please keep us in your prayers and we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Ya ghafir al-khataya, ya kashif al-balaya. يا رازق البرايا.
أنقذنا من النار يا رب الغوث الغوث خلصنا من النار يا رب.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.